Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You can be seated. Thank you so much. You guys are so kind. It is such an honor to be here at Church on the Rock. I have gotten to get closer with Pastor David over the past year or so, and I'm just so challenged by who he is as a person. He's incredibly generous and incredibly hardworking. He's addicted to greatness. He believes God's got the best for you. Every time I talk to him, I'm always just challenged. I'm like, hey man, what'd you do this morning? It'd be 9 a.m. He's like, oh, you know, I just did CrossFit and, you know, I just ran 20 miles. And what about you, Ryan? I'm like, I mean, I just woke up. So there's that. But truly honored to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me here to invest into this amazing, amazing church. A couple of things you need to know about me. I'm from Dallas and I've got a beautiful family, a wife of 12 years and two children. I believe we've got a picture of them as well somewhere around here. There they are. That's them. A lot of people see my wife and they're like, how in the world did he get her? Let me explain. When my wife and I were dating, I overheard her tell a friend that she thought it would be cool to get engaged and married on the same day. And I didn't know what that meant. So I guessed and began planning our wedding behind her back over the course of 2 years. So on June 7, 2013, I get down on one knee. I say, Amanda, will you marry me? She said, yes. I said, just kidding. Will you marry me today? And we opened up a lounge room door and about 85 of our family and friends were standing there with a sign that said today. And we were engaged for a real long time, a solid 10 hours, and had a buddy film the whole thing. It's called The Surprise Wedding. You guys can watch that a little bit later. And you know, so engaged and married on the same day, started having sex right away and had those babies. And so that's how that happened. I don't know if you know how that works, but that's how that worked in our household. But nevertheless, super glad to be here. Also, today is very, very special for me personally, not because guest speakers are supposed to say that, but it's because I was actually born in St. Louis. And my father was a pastor in East St. Louis, and we crossed the bridge to go to school every day from Missouri to Illinois back and forth. And he pastored St. Luke AME Church in East St. Louis for a number of years before we moved to Chicago. And I've had an opportunity to come back to St. Louis quite a bit to speak in corporate America. So I speak in corporate America and I speak in churches. And so this is the first time I have ever preached in St. Louis. And so I'm super excited about that, and I feel like I'm standing on tall shoulders of my father today, and they've sown so many seeds into me as a person. And so, if anything, me standing on this stage is proof that when you sow seeds into people, you just never know what can happen. And so, today, I know last week, Pastor kicked off a series about this idea of having a better life. And I want to continue that thought. I think you're going to have a better life when you learn how to deal with complicated people. And here's why. And today I want to give you so much power. Because sometimes we allow other people to take it from us. We think that somebody might owe us something. We think that somebody else is in control of something, but today I want you to walk away from today and I promise you the most difficult, most complicated people in your life, you are going to be a pro, okay? Like you are gonna walk away and it's gonna be a whole different ball game. Now here's the deal. I've written a book called How to Work with Complicated People, okay? It comes out April 15th and we did a national research study on this because I get to go all around the world and I get to work with all kinds of people and I just kept learning that the thing that was actually holding people back in their job wasn't their job description. It was the people they actually had to do the job with. And so I thought, man, if I could help people build bridges, if I could help people solve some people problems, well, maybe they would actually find joy at a crazy job. You know, like they might say, you know what? I may not have my dream job, but I'm my dream person. And so today I'm going to give you some power. So we did a national research study on this subject. And I said, man, well, let us get an academic definition of complicated, because complicated to me might be simple to you. And simple to me might leave you befuddled with that person, right? So it's, we learned that complicated is in the eye of the beholder. And so we said, hey, well, let's ask people to give, I'm gonna say, hey, we asked all of our participants in our study, we said, hey, I want you to tell me your definition of complicated. One person wrote, guy named Nate. I said, who's Nate? Are you serious right now? This is crazy. Another person wrote, girl I work with named Leslie. I said, I don't think y'all know what I'm asking. Like, they said, no, we know exactly what you're asking, okay? Leslie is the personification of complicated. Now, here's the deal. If you're watching today, you're here today, and your name's actually Leslie or Nate, I got nothing against you, but somebody does. Now, here's what I realize is that in our lives, in our homes, at our jobs, at our schools, in our neighborhoods, at the grocery store, at the gym, you might often run into a Leslie or a Nate. And you could be at a sporting event, you could be on a sideline at a youth sporting event. It doesn't matter. What you're going to find is complicated people are everywhere. I've done some extensive research on complicated people, and here's what I've learned. They are unavoidable, okay? They will find you. I know some of you are like, I'm going to just quit my job. But guess what you're going to find at your new job? More complicated people, okay? And again, complications are everywhere. They're in your home, parenting, complicated. In your love life, dating, complicated, online and in person, okay? It's both, all right? Marriage, certified complicated, okay? I got married 12 years ago, and at the beginning of our marriage, I was just a terrible listener. And the reason I was a terrible listener is because I'm a multitasker. I'm always doing two things at the same time, and so I would say, hey, babe, I'll go get you a coffee. What do you want? And she would tell me her order. I'd be on the phone. I'm doing a coaching call. I'm talking to my buddies about basketball, whatever. And then inevitably, you already know the rest of the story, I would get the order wrong. And I'd come home. I'm still on the phone. I'm like, hey, babe, here you go. She goes, this isn't what I ordered. I'm like, but it's close, right? She's like, actually, no, it's not even close. And so it became some tension in our marriage. You know, it was complicated. And so I said, well, I'm going to come up with a foolproof system. There is no way that I could ever get her coffee drink wrong ever, okay? Hey, babe, don't tell me the order. Text it to me, okay? Text me your order, and then all I'm gonna do is read it out loud to the barista. If it's wrong, that's on Starbucks. That ain't on me, you understand? So she texts me her order. I get in the Starbucks drive-thru. I read it out loud, and this barista said something that struck fear into my soul. It says, sir, would you like that drink hot or cold? I said, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. What you mean? What you mean? What you mean? She ain't saying nothing about no hot or no cold. Will you, sir, what are you, what? Y'all do these drinks hot or cold? I don't understand. I don't even drink coffee. I don't even know what's going on. I'm like, hot or cold? People are honking behind me. I'm like, I'm in a life or death situation right now. You don't understand, sir. Like, I cannot get this wrong. He says, sir, I call her. She doesn't answer. She wanted to get in the shower. Perfect timing. I'm like, listen, guys, I said, sir, let me get a hot and a cold. I'm a veteran. Let me get both. Let me get both. I need both. Now, Dave Ramsey, he might say, hey, your coffee budget's a little hot. I would say, hey, Dave, it's complicated, okay? Don't worry about me. Divorce, complicated. Half of this room has had a front row seat. Either they experienced it themselves or they watched it. To complicate it on a whole nother level. My wife's father cheated on her mother when she was younger and they got divorced. But the way that my brother-in-law tells the story is he says it like this. He says, my dad did not cheat on my mom. My dad cheated on us. complicated. There is no escaping humanity here, because at the center of humanity is complexity. All of us have it. And all of us have fallen short. And so today I want to help us move towards people the way that God moves towards us. And I promise you, if you do these things today, you're going to have a better life. Maybe not an easier life, but a better life. So today I'm going to give you three things that I believe are going to help you deal with complicated people. Are you ready? Number one, realize our own complications. Realize our own complications. I love what Romans 3:23 says. It says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." I want us to say it together. Say, "We all fall short." Don't you wish you said, "They all"? Oh, wouldn't that be great? You know what I mean? You'd be like, yeah, they all of those people who are lucky to have me in their life. But no, it's we all, unfortunately, we can't create a definition of complicated without getting in the boat ourselves. I'll go first. Hi, my name is Ryan Leek, and I am complicated. My friends and family tell me I have what's called selective frugality, which means I will spare no expense on some things, and I'm insanely cheap on other things. When my wife and I go on vacation, I will spare no expense to stay at a 5-star resort. However, I will go to CVS and get packs of water because I'm not paying $9 a bottle in the hotel room. I ain't got time for that. And so I'm walking through this 5-star resort with a 24-pack from the CVS Pharmacia, right? And my wife's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What do you mean, what am I doing?" She goes, "Why did we come here if we can't afford the water?" I'm like, "How do you think we can afford to be here?" Now open the door. Come on, let's go. It's not evil, it's just complicated. I'm introverted with an extroverted career. It's like I love having people over to our house for 1 hour, okay? Like I ain't, after that, hey, I'm tired, I gotta go to sleep. Like y'all got to roll, you know? Actually, y'all can stay, I'm gonna just go to sleep. It's complicated. I just told you how I'm complicated, your turn. I mean, you know what, it's interesting. You might be sitting next to somebody right now and you're going, "I'm so glad you came to church so I can figure out a way to deal with you." But on some level, they came to church to deal with you. And they came to church to deal with me. Every time I tell somebody, I say, "Hey, I'm working on this new book. It's called How to Work with Complicated People." This is what happens. They go, "Oh, I need that book." And I go, "Hey, spoiler alert. Somebody needs that book for you. And somebody needs that book for me." You see, when we start here, when we start to realize that, you know what, that maybe on the other side of us, man, it's not ideal. On the other side of us, there is some complexity, that we have dropped the ball, that we have missed some deadlines, that we've not shown up the way that we wish that we could, and we didn't always do what we said, and that we've under-delivered and over-promised, that we've been in some situations where we weren't exactly ideal. Well, when we start there, when we go into conversations and go, "Man, you know what? Maybe I've got some error here, and I have fallen short of God's glorious standard." But what you do is you get a little bit more of a humble posture in all of your relationships, and you're able to go, "You know what? I have to wonder, if this person has been giving me grace they haven't even told me about yet." You see, what most people do with our complications is they write them off to our personality. "Oh, that's just Bob. Oh, that's just DeMarcus being DeMarcus. Oh, that's just Jamal. That's just David. That's just Ron. Like, that's just my mom. That's just my in-laws. That's just how they are. They just do that. They just. And they just have written it off that that's just who you are. But sometimes what we'll do is, man, we'll hold somebody else to the letter of the law. So I have to wonder what it would look like for us to start by realizing our own complexity and our own complications. And what this does is it doesn't actually change complicated people. It doesn't make them less complicated. It makes us less judgmental. And when you're in that place, all your relationships are going to get better, and I promise you, you're going to have a better life. The second thing that I think is vitally important when dealing with complicated people is consider their complicated backstory. Here's what I've learned about complicated people. Complicated people have a complicated behind the scenes. They have something going on that they've never told you about. I love what we see in John chapter 4. This is the famous story of Jesus with the woman at the well. The story goes like this: is Jesus is on a journey. He sends his disciples to the grocery store to get some food, and while they're out shopping, Jesus sits down, and there is a woman at the well, and he says, "Hey, can you get me some water?" And they begin to have a very peculiar conversation. The Bible tells us it was around noontime, which is an interesting time for anybody to be at the well. In fact, one of my favorite parts about this story is the scripture tells us that Jesus had to go through this area, had to go through Samaria. First off, Jesus ain't got to do nothing. If Jesus wanna get somewhere, he could walk on water, he could go by boat, or he could go by foot. He can walk through walls. He don't need doors. He ain't got to do nothing. But he had to for her. He had an appointment that he couldn't miss. Nobody went to the well at noon. It was too hot. It was the hottest part of the day. In fact, women would actually collectively go to the well at like 6 a.m. So they would come in groups. In fact, men in that day, if they wanted to find a girlfriend or find a wife or you get wifeyed up really fast, they would go to the well. You know what I mean? And so apparently this woman knows the well very well. You know what I mean? Like, are you following me? So you've got this woman here who's actually here because she's expecting no one to be here. She's trying to avoid people. She's complicated. And she begins to have this conversation with Jesus. And it's a fascinating conversation. I invite you to read it a little bit later. It's a longer story, but it's a good story. Because they first start having the conversation about water. And then this woman is perplexed that a man is even talking to her in the middle of the day, let alone Jesus. And then they start having this conversation about who's gonna worship on what mountain. And they start having like this spiritual conversation, and she's confused. She's like, okay, you're talking about giving me living water, and I was just here just to get some water, and it is hot, I'm sweating, you're sweating. And it's like she's trying to figure out who is this guy. And he says, hey, go call your husband. She says, I have no husband. He says, yeah, I know, because you've had five, and the one you got right now isn't yours. Well, what does that mean? It means she's tried five times. And on the sixth, she said, since my husband doesn't work, let me try somebody else's. And so now she's a five-time divorcee and now a side piece. I want you to think about who we're talking about right now. Her life is personified, complicated. Everyone in her life sees her as a problem. Jesus sees a person. Jesus sees potential. Jesus is going, hey, I actually know your backstory, and what I see when I see your backstory is I actually see evangelists. Nobody saw that coming. Jesus did. Why am I telling you that? Well, for two reasons. Number one, I don't know what you think you've done that can disqualify you from God's call on your life. I don't know if you think you snuck into this church. I don't know if you think you accidentally clicked on this link, but I promise you, God's got a plan for your life. And if you're open to it and you're available to it, you'd be surprised what God could do with your life. The way the story ends is that the woman at the well goes back to town and she goes, let me tell you about a man who told me everything I ever did. And the whole town's going, if he knows everything you ever did, it's gotta be God. And the entire town gets flipped upside down and believes in Jesus. What's interesting is this entire town of Samaria, they were all Jesus's enemies. They were on the opposite side of everything. This is a rivalry that is I'm talking Taylor Swift, bad blood. Like, it goes back deep. And Jesus is going, yeah, but I'm going to be willing to sit with a complicated person. I'm going to be willing to look past their story and see something a little bit different. Because behind the scenes of a five-time divorcee, well, we don't know what was going on in her life. Jesus did. And I just have to wonder what it would look like for us to consider that the person who's got an attitude in our life, the person who has a condescending tone, the person that we deem toxic, I wonder if we could see and peel back the curtain of what's going on in their life, we would have a whole lot more grace for them than we've given them right now. And the reason I know that to be true is every single one of us has had a moment in our life where we were misunderstood. They judged us from one meeting, one text message, one post, one interaction. And we're going, you don't know me. You don't know everything that I've been through. Here's what I know about each and every person under the sound of my voice. We all got a story of how we got to the seat that we're in right now. And if everybody knew everything that you and I have been through, they would give us all a whole bunch more grace. And so here's what I do. Here's how I deal with complicated people. I assume that they got more going on than they would ever tell me. Because I'm consistently a lifelong learner, and I find myself consistently doing this, Pastor David. Oh, my bad. I ain't know. you got in a car accident. I ain't even know that. My bad. Like, I'm constantly in shock of like, I didn't know. But it's amazing how fast I judge people. Without all of the information, without their backstory. I was working with this new accountant, and you know, we've got a financial advisor, and he said, hey, we've got this new accountant we want to bring onto the team. We want you to interview him. And we get on the interview, and like, he just was late. He was slurring his words. He was just not very professional. I was confused half of the time, and my financial advisor got mad at him. He's like, man, I don't even know why we got on the call with him. I'm like, I mean, you tell me, bro. You was the one that put this on my calendar. I don't know what to do, but your man wasn't prepared. I don't know what's going on. And we found out he had just had a stroke. And I looked at my financial advisor. I said, and you was over there judging him. How dare you? You know, I was like, no, I was judging him. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't know what somebody else has been through. And he didn't get on the call and say, hi, my name is Charles. I just had a stroke. I'm like, well, actually, that would have been helpful. I wish you would have done that. But nevertheless, we don't always know somebody's backstory. There was somebody that I hadn't spoke to in 6 months. And I was like, why are they ghosting me? I took it personal. And so you know what I did? I started telling myself a story about them behind their back. I can't believe they would ghost me. Shoot, what's wrong with them? You know, they do this to other people too. And I just started spiraling internally. I didn't say anything out loud. But internally, I just started to think more negatively of this person than I was willing to admit. They called me a month ago. They said, Ryan, my brother's fighting for his life. He's got stage 4 colon cancer. I said, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry to hear that. You wanna know what's sad? My brother's got stage 3 colon cancer. And if you knew this person and you knew me, nothing about us would simply say that we're just siblings trying to help our siblings live. Why? We've got a backstory that somebody doesn't know. So yeah, I send out this encouraging text every single week, and about 20,000 people subscribe to it. And 1 week I said, hey, you got anything in your life going on that I can pray for? These are people from all kinds of, some people are people of faith. Some people have no faith at all. It's corporate America people. And I got 3,000 responses in 24 hours. Let me just tell you, if you had my phone for one day, you would walk with a whole lot more grace. The amount of depression, the amount of anxiety, the amount of abuse that people have endured to be in the seat that they're in. I promise you, if we could peel back the curtain of all of our lives, we would all just give each other a little bit of a break. And so why don't you just pretend like you already have seen behind the curtain and go, hey, I don't actually even need to know what it is, but in light of everything I've been through, I'm just gonna assume you've been through something, because everybody's got something. So what would it look like for me to just extend a little bit of grace and be a little bit more like Jesus and see people's potential instead of seeing their problems? The third and final thing that I think is vitally important to deal with complicated people is to expect complicated. The reason that most people don't do well with complicated people is because a lot of us, we don't even know this, we rarely even say it out loud, but we all live with two expectations of people in our world. We expect people to be simple and perfect, which leaves us disappointed with just about everybody. Because I hate to break it to you, but your only options for boyfriends, girlfriends, bosses, clients, spouses, kids, neighbors, coaches, teachers is imperfect and complicated. Those are our only options. And so I'm gonna encourage you to be one of those people that expect people to be complicated. In fact, sometimes I'm amazed by how many people will complain about complicated people and they're so shocked by them. They go, I cannot believe they would hit reply all. I cannot believe they would text me that. I can't believe they would say that. I can't believe he would forget. I can't believe. Hey, Church on the Rock, believe them. To which I'm saying, what were you expecting? You were expecting them to be perfect, but they're not. And neither are you. I just love what Colossians 3 verse 13 says. It's my favorite verse. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Make allowance. I love that thought. It's this idea that you and I should keep grace in our back pocket for other people's faults. Why in the world would we do that? Because don't you want somebody else to do the same for you? So it's this idea of saying, you know what? It's kind of like this idea. You know, some people meal prep at the beginning of the week. This verse is encouraging us to grace prep. The grace prep. Like some of you came here on this Sunday morning to get ready for a person you are going to work with on Wednesday, okay? You're like, yes, I needed 3 days. I needed 3 days of the word in me just to deal with this person, okay? Like some of you got a grace prep for the holidays. You need 6 months just to deal with the in-law. You're like, all right, listen, let me go ahead and grace prep for them right now. Let me go ahead and get it ready. And here's the beauty of it. When you grace prep, well, now you're walking into your job, you're walking into your school, you're walking into your neighborhood, you're walking into date night, and you are ready for somebody's faults. You're not taken off guard by them. You're actually looking for them. This will change how you work, should change how you live. Because tomorrow, Monday morning, you're gonna walk in and you go, is this you today? Is it gonna be you? Or are you gonna act a fool? No, it ain't you. Is it gonna be you? Oh, is it gonna be you? Is it gonna be my kids? Y'all got something to say? Okay, all right. Is it gonna be you? Who's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be? Nothing happens. You're like, okay, it was a pretty good day. All right, cool. Tuesday comes. I go, all right, let's see what's gonna pop off today. Okay, Jamal, is that you? Okay, you good today? All right, great. And then you go, all right, Tuesday was pretty good. And then Wednesday comes and somebody acts a fool. They go, hey, I've been waiting for you all week. Where you been? This changed how you live. It's a better life. I wake up believing somebody is going to act a fool one way or another. And you know what? I pray that somebody's got grace waiting for me too. Man, I want you to make a decision today about who you want to be. I'm going to encourage you to pre-decide it. In life, you have good decision, but then you have good pre-decision. A pre-decision says, I have made a decision about what I am going to do before it happened. If you wait for the moment, it is too late to be the person you know God has already called you to be. So I have already pre-decided forgiveness. You could act a fool with me in an hour. I have pre-forgiven you. It's already a done deal. You want to know who else is pre-forgiven you? God. You are pre-forgiven. You want to know why? Because you're going to do something stupid in the next year. I promise you. Like, because you're human. Like, it's going to happen. And guess what God already has waiting for you? Forgiveness. I love what Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 23 says. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's mercies are new every morning. Ours are exhausted and tired. We like, nah. You on strike three with me, playboy. I ain't got time for it today. But there is nothing that you can do that can exhaust the mercy of God. And I just have to wonder if you and I would just tap into this, if we wouldn't have a better life and our life would look completely different if we didn't have a short fuse with the people in our life. Imagine what it would look like for us to be the kinds of people that extend the fuse. To say, you know what, I'm actually expecting this behavior from you. I used to get really, really frustrated with my parents. My father had me when he was 50 years old. My parents have always been a little bit older. And my parents, having older parents, one of the challenges of that is, you know, with the age gap, there's also a technology gap. And so my parents, they looked to me not as like a supporting child, but as tech support constantly. You know what I mean? And it's like, I got to teach them everything on all of this new technology. And, you know, I'll never forget my mom. She called me like three times. And if you got older parents, if your parents call you three times, you think somebody died. You know what I mean? Like, this is a problem, right? So I'm in a meeting and I see my mom call me three times. I say, hey guys, I got to step out. Something's going on with my mama. I say, hey mom, what's going on? Everything okay? She goes, yeah. So your sister said that I need a Jamal and that you can help me. I said, mom, what? Mom, first off, I don't know what a Jamal is. And I'm busy. I'm in a meeting. I thought something happened to dad or you. She goes, no. She said it don't take long. She said that you have one. I said, mom, how can I have something I've never even heard of? It doesn't even make sense. Mom, I don't have a Jamal. I know a Jamal, but I don't have a Jamal. She said, your sister said you have one. She said she just sent you something. I said, what are you talking about? She said, Ryan, your sister said I need to get rid of my AOL mail and get me a Jamal. I said, mom, you mean Gmail? She said, yeah, that's it. Listen, if y'all need to get a hold of me, my email is ryanleak@jamal.com. I said, what's going on? Jamal must be Gmail for black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't know what this is. But my parents, like, they is constant tech support, you know? And so, like, there's always just this thing. And when I was in the fifth grade, unfortunately, my father, he suffered a stroke. And, you know, we were, our household income was cut in half. And over the years, you know, my dad, as he was sick and somewhat immobile, he made it through that stroke, but he lost his ability to drive. And so when I turned 16, I became my dad's Uber driver, which wasn't that big of a deal because my dad only needed to go to one place and one place alone, Walmart. Oh, let me tell you something. My dad loved him some Walmart. My dad did everything at Walmart. My dad did therapy at Walmart, dinner at Walmart, exercise at Walmart. He just walking down the aisles, just like hanging out with friends, meet me at Walmart. Like, it's like some people like, meet me at the mall. My dad's like, nah, meet me at Walmart. And so if you took my dad to Walmart, it was a 3-hour extravaganza, okay? It was a field trip. Like, you needed to prepare, bring a snack, okay, or get one there. And so nevertheless, I learned how to take my dad to Walmart. I would just pull into the hazard section. Hey, dad, we can't be here all day. I'm in a hazardous situation. You can see my lights on. Like, hurry this thing up. So my parents had moved to Atlanta later in life, and so I flew to Atlanta and surprised my parents. I walked through the door. I said, dad, I'm home. He said, oh, my goodness, Ryan. Want to go to Walmart? I go, of course, man, let's do it. Like, let's roll and pack the kids up, you know, put my parents in this rental car. And we pull up to Walmart. I pull into the hazard section. I say, hey, guys, we ain't going to be here all day. Let's go get something to eat. Whatever you need to get, just get it and get out. 45 minutes later, my mom comes out by herself. She's got two items. A bottle of cocoa butter and some laundry detergent. I said, mom, it took you 45 minutes to get two items. What are we doing? Oh, by the way, where is dad? She goes, I lost him. You lost dad? Oh, my goodness. Mom, get in the car. Don't go nowhere. Okay, I'm going to go get dad. Y'all, I couldn't find my dad nowhere. I'm walking up and down every aisle in this place. I said, this brother's cart better be full. He better have a TV in there, a dresser. We walking out with something. You understand? I found this man in the towel aisle. The only thing that he had in his cart was a 2-liter of ginger ale and a Snickers bar. I said, I'm about to blow this place up. What is going on? I said, bro, we've been here an hour and a half. Like, what is happening right now? I said, Dad, what are you doing? And I promised God, this is exactly what came out of his mouth. He said, I'm looking for your mother. I said, I'm gonna kill somebody. I'm gonna kill somebody. She's outside, bro. We've been here 2 hours. We got 4 items as a unit. I'm embarrassed. Like, let's go. Bought his stuff. We get outside to the curb, and you already know the rest of this story. My mama gone. She stole my rental car. Now I got to call the police on my mama. And my dad said, I thought you said your mother was out here. I said, I'm not going to do this with you right now. I called my brothers. I go, I've lost mom. I found dad. Don't know where she at. She comes back 30 minutes later. I said, Mom, where you been? She said, oh, I got thirsty. So I drove to a gas station down the street to get something to drink. And I just turned around and looked at Walmart. I said, Mom, they got more drinks here than any other place in all of Atlanta. Eight years ago, unfortunately, my father, he suffered a second stroke. And he passed away. You want to know what's interesting? Is what I would give right now to hear my dad say one more time, want to go to Walmart. And you know what I would do in that moment? I would park like a normal person. And I might even use these words. Take your time. I might even say, hey, let's walk the aisles together and see what they got that they didn't have last week. I see time different. I see people different. Because in one moment, my mercies were short and exhausted. And in the next, I would gladly give it. Because I value it more. So I'm inviting you today into a better life, a forgiving life, a life where you've extended the fuse, a life where you expect complicated, a life where you extend the grace that God has given you to the people around you. And all of a sudden, it's not that you've lowered your standards, it's just that your grace has gone up. For the people around you, I'm amazed at how many people that are fighting right now until something tragic happens. And in that moment, isn't it interesting? You go, what were we even fighting about? What was such a big deal that had me so up in arms? And I'm amazed by how many people have lost people that they would give anything in the world to get in one more fight. And in that fight, they would go, actually, I'm just glad to have somebody to fight with at all. And so the thing that I'm just so mad that you forgot, that you can't believe you missed our anniversary, or you forgot this thing, or you worked late, and all of a sudden, in one moment, you're like, actually, I don't know why I was holding you to the letter of the law there. So my friends, I'm inviting you into a life where you go to work a little bit different. You go to school a little bit different. You come to church a little bit different. You go to the grocery store a little bit different. And you're one of those people that's got grace in their back pocket. From the people that they sleep next to the people they're doing a project with, to a person that they're Zooming with, to a person that they're training with. You're just going, no, I'm one of those grace in the back pocket people. Yeah, there's so many things in this life that can stress us out. I've decided that I'm going to be one of those people that lets go of the small stuff so that I can prepare for the big stuff. I don't want to have to wait for tragedy to get a better perspective that I can have right now. So I have to wonder what it would look like for you, whether you're a Christian or not, what it would look like for you to adopt this kind of lifestyle. Says, you know what, I want to move towards people. I want to be one of those people that extends grace because, man, I know one thing. I definitely want to be on the other side of that myself. So I just have to wonder what it would look like for us to be those kinds of people that sign up for that, to say, you know what, Lord, would you help me be that kind of person? Would you help me be the kind of person that lives with grace and new mercy in my back pocket? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give each and every person an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life. Maybe you're here today and you go, Ryan, you are crazy. There ain't no way I'm going to start treating people this way. And I get it. It's hard when you've not been treated that way, but when you have received mercy, when you have received grace, when you have received love, when you have received forgiveness from a Heavenly Father, it's going to be so much easier to give it away. And so today is your day. You didn't just slip in here today. No, you're here for a reason. I'm here for a reason. And so if you're here today and you say, hey, Ryan, I want to rededicate my life to Christ, or Ryan, I want to give my life to Christ for the first time. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and say, hey, Ryan, that's me. Ryan, that's me. I see your hand. That's awesome. I see two hands back there. That's awesome. I see you all the way back there. I'm sure we got some online as well. Hands all over the room. Hey, can we all just repeat this prayer together as a church family? Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. I ask now that you would be the Lord and Savior of my life. I surrender my past, my present, and my future to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, can we make some noise for every single person that gave their heart to Christ? If you made that decision today, we've got some people that'll be down here at the front that would love to pray with you at the end of this service. And it literally is the best decision you've ever made. Just so you know, for the rest of us, I've got a special gift for you today. Lord put it on my heart last night to actually give and gift each and every one of you a new copy of my book, How to Work with Complicated People. And so for you to do that, you just have to scan this QR code, and all you have to do is submit your address, and my team will send it directly to your house. It comes out on April 15th. No strings attached. We're not sending anything else but the book. We're not using your information for anything like that. But I think a better life is a generous life. My wife and I, we're givers. And so I thought, man, if you've got some people in your life that are a little bit complicated and you want to take them through this book, say, hey, I got a book for you to learn to deal with you. It'll be a great conversation starter. That'd be a lot of fun. But would love to be a blessing to you. I came to be a gift to you. Your church has been a gift to me, and so we always love to give back as best as we can. So you scan that QR code, submit your info, and we're happy to get a book to you. Everybody understand? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this amazing church. Lord, I pray that you would help us move towards others the way that you have moved towards us. Lord, may we realize that we are complicated and somebody's given us grace, so may we be extensions of your grace and your mercy in the world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Come on, let's welcome back Pastor David. I appreciate you.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.